Let us pray. Eternal Father, this morning we give thanks for mercy, for grace, for bringing us together on this day of worship. Holy Father, we now pray that our word now will be consecrated. As it is declared, Father, may it be the power to thy people to see and to understand thy will and thy way. Holy Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. If you have ever paid off a debt, you know that it's always a great relief. You know, it is always a great relief when you don't have to make any more car payments because you've paid off your car. It's always a great relief when you don't have to make any more mortgage payments because you've paid off your house. You don't really have to worry about the repo man coming to take your car or your house going into foreclosure, because you are now the bona fide owner. No one else can lay claim on your property. But while you are indeed the bona fide owner of such properties, because you've paid off your debt, spiritually, however, the story is different. You know, on the grand scale of everything in life, we really don't own nothing. We are just stewards of God's manifold blessings. And the Bible unequivocally affirmed this truth. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that after God had created the first man, Adam, he planted a garden and placed him in that garden called Eden. And when he had placed him in that garden, we see that God didn't place him there to be the owner, but to cultivate and to keep it. Genesis chapter 2:15. You know, embedded in this first assignment God gave to Adam is the establishment of what we know today as stewardship, which has become the duty of all humanity. You know, from this point on, stewardship would now govern the relationship between God and man. In essence, everything in this physical world will be about stewardship. And our Lord Jesus Christ will now crystallize this truth in a parable that he gave in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, the parable of the talents. And from this parable this morning, we will get a clear understanding of what stewardship is, what it means, and what God expects from us as stewards of his manifold blessings. And loved ones, this morning, this is what's going to bring me to the Gospel of St. Matthew. So let's go here and understand the context. You know, at this point in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he had made a triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and he had begun to teach daily at the temple. And in chapter 24, the Lord Jesus began to teach his disciples about what will happen in the last days, as well as his second coming. And he instructed his disciples in Matthew 24:25 to be vigilant, for they do not know the day when the Lord is coming. And it's on the heels of this instruction that he presents to them two parables. The first one was the parable of the 10 virgins. Then after this came the parable of the talents. This is the one that I want to look at this morning. And now when we come to Matthew 25:14, the Lord Jesus began now to teach about this parable of the talents. He goes further, he says in verse 14, he said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them." I want to also pause for a minute right here, loved ones. You know, from this instruction, we can deduce the interplay between ownership and stewardship. I want you to pay close attention to the phrase the Lord Jesus used here. He said he called his own servants and distributed his own goods. You know, loved ones, one of the fundamental truths that most, if not all of us, tend to forget is that everything in life belongs to one person. And that's God. Everything in life, including your life, belongs to God. No human being is self-existent. We are all created and sustained and kept alive second by second by God. You know, contrary to what some would say in the science world, that we are product of chance, we are actually created. We belong to God. We are created and sustained by a perfect, wise, and loving God. And loved ones, if you doubt what I'm saying this morning, you go to the morgue. You see, at the morgue, you will see the clear evidence that everything in this physical world belongs to God. Because guess what? When a person dies, he takes nothing with him. Naked he came into this world, and naked he will return. That means everything he will leave behind because it doesn't belong to him. We belong to God. In addition, we see here stewardship. Not only is it true that everything belongs to God, but like this man, God is God's benevolent kindness whereby he has entrusted to us. Just as this man gave his servants his goods, God has entrusted to us benefits and blessing and endowment, stewardship. So, loved ones, biblical stewardship has to do with the entrusting of resources to us by God. You know, our physical world is God's entrustment to us. Our children, God has entrusted them to us. Our finances, God has entrusted it. We are stewards of what belongs to God. So from this first verse, verse 14, we can now see that interplay between ownership and stewardship. And make sure you get your theology right. You are not an owner. You are not an owner. You are a steward of God's manifold blessing. So we see here that according to our Lord Jesus Christ, this man, in distributing his goods, gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, according to his own ability. Let's stop for a minute right there. I want you to observe here 2 things that are important. First of all, it was not the servant who determined the endowment they received. Pay attention to what I just said. It was not the servants who determined the endowment they received. It was the owner who determined what he gives to them. This is important for you to understand. You know, we are not the one who determines the kind of parents we get. God, in his perfect wisdom, places us in families. We don't choose, or parents don't choose their children. God, in his own perfect choice, does that for us. We don't get to select whether I'm going to be 6 or 7 feet tall and I'm going to play basketball like LeBron James. No, God is the one who determines our endowment. You know, endowment of physical talent, giftedness, and ability is God's prerogative, not ours. And I think it's important to understand. So when God places you in a family, that is God's prerogative. That is God's choice. And as such, you must understand that the reason God placed me here, there must be something that God has a purpose in it. The second thing we'll observe here from this verse is this, that the endowment God gives to us is always uneven. You know, just like our fingers are not equal, so are the endowments that we receive from God. They will always be unequal. Let me help you understand this. You know, some people will be with this A-plus brain. They don't have to really study. They can just, boom, get it done. Because guess what? They are smart. While others can only be endowed or are only endowed with a C-minus brain. You know, some people might be endowed with great singing voice. You got the sopranos, the altos. Great endowment God gives to each one. Have you ever imagined if everybody in this world was a soprano? if everybody was an Alton. No, God endows each with different skills and ability according to his wills. And again, there are some of us that have no tone whatsoever. We just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But loved ones, this is what I'm saying this morning. But one thing you got to realize, whatever endowment you receive from God, God expects you to accept it with gratitude and be good stewards of it. Whether you receive 5 talents, whether you receive 2, whether you receive 1, God wants you to express gratitude and to be good steward rather than envy others. And loved ones, if there's a problem that we share that many of us often have, is the problem of envy. We tend to look over our fence and look at our neighbors and say, Lord, why are you not giving me what I got? Why am I not as endowed as they are? But listen, to whom much is given, much is required. God does not want us to envy the endowment that he has given to others. He wants us to appreciate what we got. And appreciating what we got means that you are grateful and you are good stewards of it. So we see from this parable that this man now gave his servants different talents. And then the Bible says this. After he had given them the talent, he went on his journey. I want to pay attention to verse 15. Please notice that this man did not micromanage the stewardship of the talents he gave to his servants. Rather, he traveled, leaving each one to act wisely as it relates to the stewardship of what they have been given. That's what is called responsibility. And loved ones, listen to me this morning. You know, God does not micromanage us when it comes to the stewardship of the endowments that he has given to us. God does not rover over us and become overbearing and say, listen, I've given you this, are you using it? Doesn't bug you or nag you. Rather, God has committed the stewardship exclusively to you, and it's your responsibility to be a good steward of whatever God has given you. You know, it is your responsibility to be a good steward of your homes. It is not the church's responsibility. It is not the government's responsibility. God has given them to you. God is now saying, take your responsibility seriously. It is your responsibility to be good stewards over your body. It is not your doctor's responsibility. It is your responsibility to be good stewards of your finances. It is not God's responsibility. It is your responsibility. You see, loved ones, what I'm trying to say is this. When it comes to responsibility, you cannot blame anybody for your lack of diligence. Because stewardship is about diligence. It's about taking your responsibility seriously and doing those things that God has called you to do. God will not micromanage you. So we read here that the owner went on a travel according to the parable of the Lord Jesus. And then we read in verse 16 and 17, very interesting. I want you to watch this parable. Immediately, the one who had received 5 talents went and traded them, and he gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 gained 2 more. Let's stop for a minute right there. You know, these 2 servants in this parable epitomizes the true meaning of stewardship. And I want to bring out 3 things here from what the servants did. First of all, they were self-motivated. They did not need anyone to tell them, go and do something with it. Remember, the master just gave it to them. He didn't tell them, go do something, but they were self-motivated. They got up. They went to do something. They did not wait to the gym to come to them. They got up and went to the gym because they know that they got to take care of their bodies. That's what this is. It's meaning in a contemporary term. In other words, they were self-motivated. when it comes to stewardship, the true meaning of stewardship, you cannot just sit down on your giftedness. You have to be self-motivated. You have to stand up and begin to do something about it. The second thing about these two servants is this. They did not wait for the opportunity to come to them. They went looking for the opportunity. And love wants to be a good steward of what God has given you. You can't wait for the opportunity to knock on your door. You have to be an opportunity seeker. You have to go out there and seek every opportunity you can find and seek every door you can find to begin to make an impact. And this is the third thing. These servants multiplied. Watch what I'm saying. They multiplied. The five turned to 10. The two turned to 4. Loved ones, this is the call of true stewardship. God has given you talents. God has given you ability. God has given you resources. He wants you to be self-motivated, do something about it. He wants you to go out there and find the opportunity. But most importantly, he wants you to multiply. Listen, the kingdom of God is not subtraction, it's multiplication. That each one of us will go out there and multiply. Make disciples. Let your life come. You might say, but listen, Pastor Wally, I'm just one person. Listen, God has given you just the endowment to be able to impact one person. Good. Do that. If God has given you an endowment to impact 40 people, great. Do that. But whatever God has given to you in terms of endowment, God wants you to be a good steward over it. Multiply. And loved ones, listen to me. When you multiply, that's what the Bible calls you bear fruit. Jesus is always looking for fruit. But let's continue with this parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, according to this parable, we now see in verse 18 that the one who received one talent went away. And he dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. You know, this third servant clearly epitomizes what we should not be like or do when it comes to stewardship. Again, I want to draw two things out from this action of this third servant. First of all, he was dissatisfied and he had a distaste for the endowment that he has been given. Watch what I just said. He was dissatisfied and he had a distaste. Why do I say that? Because he just didn't put the talent on a table. He dug a ground. He didn't want to see that talent. He dug a ground and he stuck it in that ground. And loved ones, may I remind you, this third servant is not too far from the 21st century church. Because there are so many of us that God has endowed with talents that we believe that, Lord, this is not good enough. I'm discontented about it. Lord, I want more, but Lord, you're giving me this little. And instead of using the little for the glory of God, we complain, we whine. We say, Lord, this is not good. And we put it aside. We don't even use it. We waste our lives. No matter the talent God has given you, no matter the ability, no matter the endowment, God wants you to use it for his glory. You don't have to shake the whole universe. What you can do is probably your home can be where your impact is needed by God. And like this third servant, there are some of us who just hide our abilities, our giftedness. Some of us were not good steward of it. We complain. But I want you to watch the second thing. This third steward did that is always negative when it comes to stewardship. He deliberately made an effort to sabotage his stewardship. Not only did he dig a ground, but he buried it. This precisely is what we must never do when it comes to stewardship. No matter what endowment God gives you, you must be content and you must be grateful. Because I tell you, whenever you become discontented with your endowment, you will always sabotage your stewardship. you will always sabotage your stewardship. And so many today are sabotaging their stewardship because they're not content. They're not grateful for the little God has given them. So I want you to follow along with this parable, because the Lord Jesus continued with this parable in verse 19. He said, "And after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled account with them." Pause for a minute. I want you to watch that. You know, the master came, and the master could have said, "Listen, I gave you this stuff. Do whatever you want to do with it." But then he came to settle an account. He came to settle an account. In essence, love wants to listen to this. In essence, God is going to ask us for accountability. We will be accountable for every endowment that we've received from God. You are going to be responsible before God for your children. Pastor Wally, what does that mean? Because guess what? Children are a gift of God. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, you are a warrior. Your job is to point them in the direction of holiness. And God will hold you accountable for the stewardship of those that he has given you. God will hold you accountable for the stewardship of your talent. God will hold you accountable. You have to give account. And this is precisely what we see in this parable, that we see that the master came and wanted to settle accounts. And the Lord Jesus continued. He said, "The one who received five came up and brought five more and said to his master, 'Master, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I gained five more.' Then the master," this is interesting, "the master said to him, 'Well done.'" Compliment. He said, "Good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Reward. Are you paying attention, loved ones? Reward. So when it comes to stewardship, there is the case of endowment. There is responsibility, there is accountability, and there is reward. Jesus in this parable is saying the master will say, "Well done." And I believe, loved ones, this master himself is the Lord Jesus in this parable, because ultimately the Lord Jesus will say to you on that day when you stand before him, "Well done. Well done. I gave you this skill, I gave you this ability, I gave you these resources, and you multiplied it. You bear fruit for my sake. You brought much to the kingdom of God. You added to the kingdom of heaven." And God will say, "Listen, enter into the joy of your master." Reward. And so again, we see the second person. The second person will say to us that, "Listen, master, you gave me two, and I turned the two to what? To four." And the master again will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you've been faithful over, I'll make you ruler." And this is interesting, love. I don't want you to miss this out. You know, when you are faithful in the little, God upgrades you. Watch what I just said. When you are faithful, because he says to us here, "You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." And loved ones, I ask you the question. You live in an apartment building, right? And you continue to whine and complain about your apartment. And you say, "Lord, why don't you give me a house? Why don't you give me that?" But the question is that, are you being faithful in the very little God has given you? Are you taking care of that? You know, if you're not faithful in the little, don't expect God to upgrade you to a higher level. Because God understands that if you're not faithful in the little, when he upgrades you, you're still not going to be faithful, because the problem with you is your discontentment. And loved ones, this is what's important for us to understand, that when God gives us little, we give it our best. Oh, your church might not be a 50,000 member church. My church, this church, is not a 50,000 member church. But listen, no matter how little it might be, faithfulness. Because when you're faithful over little, God upgrades you. And this is exactly what's going on with these two slaves. God upgraded them because they were faithful over the few that God gave them in this parable. But I want you to watch number three servant. And number three servant now comes up. The Lord Jesus continues here. He said, and the one who received one talent came up and said, he said, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping what you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, this is what is yours. Woo. I can see some of your faces say, woo, that's heavy. That's the height of ingratitude. That is the height of ingratitude. How can you say that, you might wonder? But may I remind you that this third servant is not too far from this place. This third servant is not too far from contemporary Christendom. Because some in our churches, some who profess to be believers, every time indictment against God. God, you're not fair to me. We indict God. We indict God because things don't go away. We indict God because we think we don't have any. We indict God because it's not as good for us as it is for other people. We indict God. So within our own psyche is this thought servant. Is this thought servant. Because rather than showing gratitude, rather than using the gift and talent God has given you, you indict God of not being fair. You say, Lord, why did you give me what you gave them? Why is not my son like their son? Why is not my career like their career? Lord, you are not fair to me. And loved ones, listen, I'm not preaching to the choir this morning. I'm preaching to you guys. Because you realize, and we all realize, that this third slave is not too far from us. But I want you to watch what the master will say. Master will say to me, said, you wicked and lazy slave. Stop right there for a minute. The master realized his problem. His problem was that this man's heart was embittered. It was evil in his heart. But apart from that, it was laziness. Listen, it was laziness. And most times when we fail to be good stewards, it's because we're lazy. And he goes and said, you know that I didn't reap where I did not sow, gather where I did not scatter, no seal. You ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I will have received my money back with interest. In other words, listen, if you believe my endowment was too small, you could have invested it in somebody else. Invested it in somebody else. Invested it in somebody else. If you believe my endowment is too small, give it to somebody else that can make use of it. So that the glory will come to me. God understands that. Then the owner will say in this parable, therefore, he said to everybody, take away the one talent from him and give it to the one who has ten. Listen to that. In this parable, Jesus said, take away the one talent and give it to the one who has ten. Implication is this. You know, if you're unfaithful in what God has given you, you're unfaithful in your endowment, and you whine and complain, God is not afraid to take away and give it to somebody else. You whine and complain about your job, you can be demoted. And someone else can be promoted in that place. Why? Because you are not being good stewards of what God has given you. Remember this. God will take, if you're not diligent, God will take it. Give it to somebody. Because guess what? The person that has 10 has shown himself to be very, very diligent. And the one that he has, he will multiply to many. God is concerned about bearing fruit and good stewardship. And therefore, he will say to this slave, he said, for everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who does not have, Even what he has were taken away from him. And he said, throw the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What does this mean to me, Pastor Wally? Good stewardship. Jesus is saying to us this morning, I have given you talents. I've given you ability. I've built in you the capacity to be world changers. Why are you sitting still? Why are you busy complaining the world is not good and you ain't do nothing about it? There's power invested in you. There's power embedded in you. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You are called to go out and make a difference in this world, and Jesus will back you up. That's the anointing. And the question is this. Have you been a good steward? Are you actively seeking to impact and become a food bearer for Jesus? Or are you just sitting down, hoping everything is going to come to you, or complaining about very little endowment that you think you have? Loved ones, this morning, stop complaining about your endowments. Start being a good steward of what God has given you, and see God give you the grace to multiply. Let us pray. Our Father, this morning we give thanks for mercy. We give thanks for thy grace. And Holy Father, we now pray that I will bless this time of teaching, that it will be to the glory of thy holy name, that those who hear indeed will say yes to thy will and yes to thy way. Holy Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.